Hello, Saints. Todd here with SafeguardYourSoul.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are so blessed to have these moments together in the Word of God. And remember, Saints, there's nothing happening on God's planet that is even remotely as important as the work of the gospel and feeding the sheep of Jesus Christ, for whom He died to save, so that they can grow in grace, they can be edified, they can be equipped for the work of the ministry according to the scriptures. And let me just guarantee you this one thing: by the grace of God, this outreach will continue to unapologetically endeavor to preach the whole of the Word of God, regardless of who gets offended or not, in Jesus' name. And please remember that your prayers and support are vital to this operation. Thank you. The deeds and doctrine of the Nicolaitans. Jesus said that He hated the deeds and the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. Nico meaning to conquer. That's where the shoe brand Nike, it's the Greek word for conquer. Niko is conquer, and laitanes, two words put together, conquer the laity or the laitanes, the people. And how are people conquered? They are conquered by manipulation and lies. Earlier today was discussing with several born-again believers concerning those who would control and manipulate these warlocks and witches of the apostate modern church world. And those who refuse to be controlled by them are a nightmare to Satan and to his human Nicolaitan pawns. Now, there are two extensive chapters on this topic, the deeds and doctrine of the Nicolaitans, chapters there in the book Deceivers and False Prophets Among Us. It's the first book published by the ministry, and the Word of God is expressed in these two chapters in Deceivers and False Prophets Among Us to help people to be delivered from the witchcraft that had controlled their lives previously. And this is something we can all get more set free about. The more we ingest, we take in, embrace, and agree with God and His truth and put it into action, the more we're going to be made free. Perhaps every one of us could stop to get alone with God and with His Word and say, Lord, if I'm trying to control anybody else, if I'm exercising undue control in my mind, if nothing else, and then perhaps using manipulation to control them, I ask you to forgive me of this witchcraft. That's one of the works of the flesh, Saints. Galatians 5:19-21. 17 soul damning sins. Those who operate in witchcraft will be damned. They will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, if somebody says, well, I don't have a black hat and I'm not a Satanist, well, he's talking to the church right there. He's not talking about to Satanists. He's talking to the church, and he says that witchcraft, anyone operating in witchcraft, that's a work of the flesh, proves they are not rooted in Christ, and they will not inherit the kingdom of God, Galatians 5:19-21. We could all stand before God and examine. We wonder if we're operating in this work of the flesh, this damning sin of witchcraft. We could ask the Lord, Lord, please show me, please deliver me. I denounce all witchcraft, Lord. I'm bought by the price of Your blood, and so is everyone else whom You have brought into Your kingdom. You paid for them to be saved. You made them. They're not mine, they're Yours. And if you're married, you could say or pray aloud, my wife, my husband, they are Yours. They are not mine. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Psalm 24:1. Take this before the Lord to found this thing, to base it in the reality, the Bible reality. We got to realize that we are, you, my friend, are God's. You're not man's. You're God's property. He made you. Let's stop and think about something. Believe it or not, I once had a man tell me that he is God. or a God, one or the other. And I said, really? Okay. Hey, you know what? I will believe that if you could just do one simple thing. And that would be to create just, let's say, a blade of grass. And then I stood there with my arms folded like, I'm waiting. I called his bluff. He needed it called. He's a satanic warlock. I hope he's repented by now, but that was a number of years ago. And I even made it a little easier for him. I said, hey, listen, forget the blade of grass. How about, let's say, a speck, just one particle of dust. Can you go ahead and create that right in front of us right now, please? Well, he was dumbfounded. He was acting dumb like his father, the devil, and so he needed to be dumbfounded. So I say these things to try to make a point to our hearts today. God made all that is. God made every single human being, even your children, even my child. He made them. They're not mine. They're his. So the simple fact that we know from Scripture that God made all things, that would of necessity mean that we own nothing, not even ourselves. No man owns anything. Naked came we into this world, and naked shall we return, according to Job 121, 1 Timothy chapter 6, etc. Why? Because God is in control, not you. He created all things, not us. No man has ever created anything. Every soul is his, Ezekiel 18 verse 4, all souls are mine, and the soul that sinneth, he says there, shall die, will be separated from him, not only in this life, it's for eternity, irrevocably in eternity. You are not man's property. You're not even your own property. You're bought with the price of the blood of a lamb. 1 Corinthians 7:23, a memory verse here, ye are bought with a price. Be not the servants of men. Beautiful, beautiful. You are bought with a price. God commands you here not to be the servants of men. You serve men as unto the Lord, but you're not their property. You're his property, and he's the one giving you the grace, the one who saved you, empowering you to serve them as unto the Lord, as we read in the New Testament. You belong to the one who made and saved you, who came and died on the cross for your sins, was crucified, buried, and raised again from the dead. Jesus Christ. Again, 1 Corinthians 7:23, ye are bought with a price. Be ye not the servants of men. So in the beginning of this message, we are laying down a biblical foundation of identity based on creation and a premise. And again, though we serve others as unto the Lord for his glory, we are not man's. We are not their property. According to 1 Corinthians 7:23, we are not even our own property. The Bible tells us that we didn't make ourselves, but God made us. We first and foremost belong to Jesus and no other. Maybe we would do well to say it aloud, say something like, Lord, I belong to you. You made me, you found me, and you saved me into your eternal family. I live and work and love you, Lord Jesus. I love you, Master, Lord Jesus. Thank you for saving me by your precious blood. In Jesus' name, amen. So many people, as myself, have run into this problem in local churches. Remember that if a person or a group cannot respect that you are God's property first and foremost, if they can't respect that God made you and that he paid for your eternal soul through the blood, the highest price ever, of his only begotten son, the precious blood of a lamb, and he gave you the free will to obey or not to obey him, if they can't understand and respect that, they are operating in witchcraft and undue control and manipulation over God's creation, and you need to get away from these people. They are trying to continue to manipulate you so that they can exploit you and use you for their own self-serving purposes. And let me tell you, anybody doing this, we have the authority of the Word of God on this. They are under the direct condemnation and judgment of the living God. They are standing between God and his creation. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. Picture that. There you are standing there in God in heaven. You got your hands and your heart lifted to him, and there's other demons and the human agents of demons that are trying to come between you and the Father, but only Jesus is the mediator between God and men. I think we need to get a biblical picture there. Anyone claiming to be Christ and yet is not about the Father's business, which is the great commission that Jesus gave us, does not have the fruit to prove that they're Christ. They're operating in their own agenda. It's not what Jesus said in their lives. Jesus said, "Not my will, but thine be done, Father." They're saying, "Not thy will, but mine be done." They're operating in witchcraft over their own life, and that's why they control or try to control other people, operating in witchcraft over other people. Anyone who has and is giving their life over to the Lord is certainly not trying to control anyone else. That would be a sin. That would be witchcraft, undue control operating through them to manipulate the lives of others. And that definitely would not be the work of the Holy Spirit. If they were right with God, they would never be doing this. Such a person is serving the God of self. And Jesus said, "No man can serve two masters," Matthew 6:24. If they were serving Jesus, they would be all about his business and not their own. And Jesus never gave any man permission to unduly, unwarranted, to control and manipulate somebody else's life. And we're going to see that in the scriptures by the way Paul treated other people. He gave them the full liberty to be whoever they were, whatever they chose to do, and to let God run their life, not him, God. Paul said, "We preach not ourselves," it's not about us, "but Christ," 2 Corinthians 4:5. So all who are not serving the Master Jesus, and one example of that, one cardinal fruit of that, is people that are serving Jesus are about the Great Commission. They're not building a church business. They're not involved in some little church country club with all of its politics that are bred through that kind of undue, ungodly relationship and concoction. Jesus wants to set you free and me to do his great commission. We're going to give account to him. People listening to me, many of you, you're so beholden to the pastor and the local church. You always show up because you're afraid of what they're going to do, because you know inside that they're going to turn against you. If you dare, seek to leave.
Right.
What does that tell you about them? That tells you that it's a cult right there off the bat. Just that. Have you ever noticed that when you've left a church or churches in the past, it's been more than one for me. It's been a long time ago, thank God. I learned not to be a part of those fellowships. I'm not looking for the church. I'm just going to be the church and the body of Christ. We're members of the body of Christ, first and foremost. We're not members of a local church. We're members of the body of Christ. That's the biblical governing truth. You're bought by the blood of Jesus. You're not to be the servant of man. Think about that. Meditate upon that and let it permeate your being. You are purchased by the blood of Christ. Your identity is Jesus Christ. Paul said, "God forbid that I should glory, save or except in the Lord Jesus Christ, in the cross of Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world." Galatians 6:14. I want you to memorize that. So have you ever noticed that when you go to leave a church, it's observable that, like the mafia and the satanic covens or groups. Anybody ever been around those kind of groups? Well, I certainly have. I'm Italian, so the mafia. I think we can all relate to that based on some of the true depiction we've seen in those movies years ago. I can't, not that I even watched them then, really. One day I was in the bookstore and I picked up a bunch of books about the mafia. This is years ago, but I was like, what am I doing looking at this stuff? They're glorifying evil, these books. These people are demonic, man. You go to leave the mafia, they're going to kill you. I'm trying to paint a picture here of things that we might all understand. You go to leave a satanic coven. I've had Satanist groups attack me for a while. God shuts them down every time. But anyway, when you go to leave the satanic coven and Satanism, what happens? Well, they viciously attack that person that would dare choose to leave the mafia or the Satanism. In fact, they even murder many of them. So what does it tell you concerning Satan's kingdom? Because that's how his kingdom operates. He's come to steal, kill, and destroy, John 10:10. So what does it tell you about these churches, these so-called churches that operate this way? Instead of saying, oh man, we're so sorry to see you go. We love you, man. Can we pray for you? We just want God's best in your life. We want to pray God just fills you and multiplies his grace in you and continues to deepen you in Christ and use you mightily all the way till you're with Jesus. No, they're not going to say that in most cases. They're going to begin to attack and persecute you. And we have so many testimonies of this. Recently, again, I opened up this topic on social media. And it's quite incredible how many people have experienced the same thing. Is this not exactly what happens? The way that satanic kingdom operates, mafia example, satanic covens. You get attacked if you go to leave the mafia or Satanism. And what does that tell you about these churches that attack people when they leave? They're part of Satan's kingdom. Notice how when you go to leave these Christian covens, if you will, these counterfeit churches, you are what? Character assassinated. You're scorned. You're mocked. You're persecuted. You're just absolutely just attacked. This is because the satanic operators hate it. They hate it. They're infuriated when they can no longer control, manipulate, or exploit their prey or their victims. Such a scenario, the attack of the wicked, only confirms that you were to leave. God was instructing you to leave that Antichrist cult that is pretending to be a gathering of Christ's saints, but it's not at all a gathering of Christ's saints. It's more of the kingdom and rooted in the kingdom of darkness while posing as being a Christian church. This is how the spirit of Antichrist works. It pretends to represent Christ while subverting the truth of Christ. Anybody doing this, any individual or group that attacks someone who dares to leave, identifies themselves by that fruit as a cult. See, one of the characteristics of the cult is that they think somehow that you need them to get to God. You see, and it proves that they have placed themselves between God and the people, and this is why they bite and devour one another. The same thing that was going on with the accursed in the book of Galatians 5:15, where they were biting and devouring one another. They didn't have, same chapter, chapter 5, the love, the joy, and the peace, etc., that comes from truly serving the Lord. Why? Because they were in rebellion against him. They left Christ to go back to law keeping, and therefore strong delusion was sent to them. They no longer had the Holy Spirit. They had departed from the faith. They had fallen from grace. They were no longer saved. Galatians 5:4. They came up under a spirit of witchcraft. Galatians 3:1-3. They begun in the spirit, but they chose to be seduced back out from Christ unto something else. It doesn't matter what else it was. In that case, it was the law or law keeping. And he says, you having begun in the spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? What a fascinating book, the book of Galatians, 6 chapters. I highly recommend that you read a chapter of Galatians from tomorrow morning forward for the next 6 days, that you read at least one chapter in the book of Galatians, and perhaps go back and read Galatians over and over, 5 or 10 times, to get that book, the truth of God in you in that book. So important of a component of truth for every believer. So any group that attacks somebody that's going to leave is not honoring God, is not honoring that person and their free will, and is a cult. Any group that attacks those who dare to depart proves to be a cult and not a Christian fellowship at all. Notice Christian people, the body of Christ, operate this way. John 13:35, by this, what is this? Here it is. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. So by definition, the members of any cult are indoctrinated by wolves to believe that they alone are God's people and no other. Yet it is clear by their fruit, their lack of love, that they are of their father, the devil. John 8:44. They're not being known by the love they have one to another, as Jesus said we would be known. If you have departed from any group that persecuted you for leaving that group, please know that you were hearing from God. We have His word on it. To leave that congregation of counterfeits. Again, this is how Christ's body operates. 1 John 5:1, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth Him, that's God, loveth Him also that is begotten of Him. 1 John 5:1. So anybody who is right with God, who has been begotten or born again of the Lord and is presently abiding in Christ on the stated terms He gave in His word, loves all the other members of the body of Christ. If you're born again, that's the only way to be a Christian, then you love all other born again Christians. That's what He's saying here in 1 John 5:1. So you don't love your little church organization. You don't love. That's a great reason why it's important to depart from these false churches, which most of them are, the vast majority, because they're teaching you to be loyal to them and to their little group instead of Christ and His body. Why is the person at work that you work with less important to you than the person at your local church that you think is a Christian and they could be? Listen, there's no respecter of persons with God, Romans 2:11. So why do you love the Sunday morning country club member at the same country club church you go to more than you do the born-again believer at work? Something's wrong. You have respect of persons, and the Bible says you have sin in James 2:9. If you have respect to persons, you have sin. You need to repent. But if you have respect to persons, you commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. You're separated from God and need to repent. Listen, Jesus bought us with the price of His blood to be about the Father's business. That's what He said He was about when He was on earth. Luke 2:49, I must be about my Father's business. Now, when's the last time you and I stood before God and declared, I must be about Your business, Heavenly Father, and no one else's? I can serve You and You alone. I cannot serve two masters. Notice Jesus said, Revelation 2:26, and he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. Revelation 2:26, we have to continue. We must overcome. We must endure to the end with Christ and in Christ and keep His works to the end. We're here to do His work. What is His work? We're to love and teach and feed the body of Christ and participate in such by what? Prayer and by financial support, etc. In any way we can, in any and all ways that God has enabled us to and provided for us to do so. Jesus' mission, He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He didn't come to die to save you so that you could be the member of somebody's church. Do you see how Satan has robbed God and multi-billions of Christians that are alive today or have been alive since Christ came and went back to heaven as He rose from the dead? Jesus is coming and He says, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. When He saved you, He put your hand on the plow and said, you serve me, you do my work. You participate in the harvest. The harvest truly is plentiful, is plenty, but the laborers are few. We are laborers in His harvest. And what is the Great Commission? To teach and to feed the flock of God. End of Matthew, John 21:15-17. Jesus said, do you love me, Peter? Three times. And basically, if so, feed my sheep. And that goes for us. Do you love Jesus? Are you loving Him in the way He chose and called and ordained you to love Him? To love, to nurture, to feed, to help His sheep, to pray for His sheep. It's real, real simple, the Great Commission, which is synonymous with the Father's business. You cannot separate them. They're intertwined eternally and divinely. And so when we see that, we're going to go, wait a minute, I've been wasting all my time going and being a part of some so-called church that is not fulfilling the Great Commission. And when they pretend to be doing it, they're basically just promulgating and selling their own name. In other words, they're not going to help fund you. They got a lot of money coming in, but they're not going to fund you if you go to them independently and say, hey, man, I think God's called me to Africa to be a missionary or Russia or India or South America. No, they're not going to fund you unless you promise to embrace their doctrines, including in most cases, their eternal security, demonic heresy. And unless you promise and contract with them that you're going to go sell their name and start satellite churches for their church business. No, what does that tell you? They're all about self. They're not serving the Lord. No, not at all. They're not doing His Great Commission where the name of Jesus Christ is all that matters. No, they want to expand their own enterprise, their own existence. They want to perpetuate it. They don't care about the blood of Jesus being spread, the kingdom of Jesus Christ, like the early church who went and preached Christ, quote unquote, Acts 8:5, Acts 9:20, etc. Jesus said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Christ is the gospel. Beware lest your life be wasted and you hear, depart from me, you cursed into everlasting fire, prepare for the devil and his angels, because you did your own bidding and you did somebody else's bidding other than Jesus's bidding. Yes, regrettably, most local churches are nothing but businesses. They want to corral you. They want to use you. They want to exploit you. They want to cause you to waste your life on perpetrating their agenda. Regrettably, this is exactly how most churches today operate. They want to employ you. They want your free labor to do their bidding and not Christ's Great Commission to teach and to preach His word and His kingdom and to preach Christ. They preached Christ in the early church. For example, Acts 8:5. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ. The glories of the blood of Jesus, picture him on the cross, where he shed his precious blood for the sins of the world. He was buried and raised again from the dead. That is the gospel as is defined in 1 Corinthians 15:1-4 and throughout scripture, Acts 9:20. And straightway, this is Paul, he preached Christ. He didn't preach, oh, well, we have a local church and it's called such and such. No, he preached Christ. People don't need you. They don't need me. They don't need some stupid little church country club that's going to rob them of their life and resources. They need Christ. When you're gone and you're just a man and so am I, they need to have a relationship anchored in Christ and growing in the grace of Christ, depending on Christ, not Sunday morning church, not you, not your wonderful pastor who knows how to eloquently put together a sermon. No, none of that. They need Christ. Wolves want to send you, and contrary to what we see in the early church, what today's wolves want to do is send you out as their salesmen, their pawns, pawning people, propagating this idea in the minds of other people that they need to come also join your church country club. This is what Peter was talking about in 2 Peter 2:1-3, when he said these false teachers and false prophets will make merchandise of you. They will make merchandise of you. They make a dollar sign out of you. Notice, do you know anybody in your life that doesn't care about anybody else other than to use them to make more money for themselves? I've got friends like that. I've known people like that. They're self-serving, Luciferian, and they're demonic. They live for the god of self. The only reason why they smile, they call you and apologize, or for something they did and it's a fake apology, is because they just want to get back in to your good graces so that they can exploit you again, so that they can cause you to work for them. They have an agenda, and it's not God's agenda. The Bible says we're to owe no man anything but to love one another. True Christians love everybody else because everybody else is the creation of God. They have pure motives. They're not operating out of an agenda, a self-serving agenda, to get people to do what they want them to do for their own self-serving evil purposes. That's what people whose God is their belly do. They mind earthly things. They try to use people for their own self-serving purposes. And they do it how? They do it with feigned words through covetousness. There it is. They have a covetous, greedy heart, and they're not a part of the kingdom of Christ. Ephesians 5, 5 through 9. And 2 Peter 2, verse 3. And through covetousness, these satanic pawns who make merchandise of you, shall they with feigned words, fictitious, empty, manipulative words, make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. I'm sorry, where are they going? They're going to hell. They're going to be damned. So we don't ever need to cover for that. We need to say what the Bible says and call it out as it is. That's what God said. They're going to be damned. I had an old friend of mine, so-called friend, that did the same thing to me not long ago. But his agenda was to get me to work for him. And when that didn't work out, because God hasn't called me off my post to feed his flock and to be in full-time service for him and his body, no different than the model of the Levitical priesthood, one of the 12 tribes of Israel. They were set apart not to do secular work. They were forbidden to do such, but to do the work of God, to serve God, to wait upon the Lord every day and worship in the word and prayer, and to serve the other 11 tribes of Israel. That's the model for full-time ministers today. The apostle said we must give ourselves continually, that means full-time, perpetually, to prayer and to the ministry of the word. There's the precedence right there for full-time ministry. And men don't call themselves to that. God has to call them. That's Acts chapter 6, verse 4. And when God calls them to that, God forbid that you try to pull that person off of his post for God to do something to help you. You're bringing judgment on yourself big time. No different than when Jonah went on that ship and they had to throw him overboard to avert the judgment of God. But he brought that on them. They didn't bring it on him. Think about those who go so far as to try to pull somebody off of God's post, the post God put them on, for their own self-serving agenda. I wouldn't want to be any part of that. And I think you wouldn't either if you fear God. I know you wouldn't. That's nothing but a bunch of witchcraft and just another example of what's going on in the professing church. We've got a lot of podcasts and posts on witchcraft. If you just put witchcraft, one word, into the search box on safeguardyoursoul.com, you will find a plethora of biblical truth on this topic. So it's the same thing in the modern church. They want you working for them. They don't care about your relationship with God. That's why they won't tell you and charge you on the authority of the Word of God to get in the Word yourself. See, that's what true men of God do. They do what Paul did to Timothy, 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show yourself. You do it, in other words, approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. He didn't need Paul, he needed Christ. And Paul was true to Christ. He didn't endear people to him. He endeared them to Christ, the only mediator, the only savior. So if a person or a group cannot respect that God gave you free will and that God's will is operating in your life and that you are to do his will, not theirs, that group or individual, they're operating in the spirit of witchcraft. They're exercising undue control and manipulation over God's creation, and you need to run from them immediately. And speaking of running from false fellowship, Sister Barbara and her husband, the Cooks family, wrote this. She said, "We left apostate fake Christianity a few months ago." They left a certain fellowship because we could no longer tolerate their false, unbiblical doctrines, and due to harassment from the pastors, when I started sharing the truth on social media, two reasons why they left: the false teachings of that local church, and also the truth that she and her husband was speaking on social media was objected to by these false pastors she's identifying here. She continues, she says, "It took quite a toll on me and my husband, but the Lord drew us even closer to himself through this experience. We continue to pray for all of them." By the way, guys, this is a sweet couple. They are precious. I have known them and been connected in fellowship with them for many years, probably over a decade now. And so Sister Barbara continues about this experience of leaving that certain fellowship. She says the pastor was making snide or rude remarks about, quote, those who don't agree with us, unquote, during his church services. That was a bridge too far, she said. The Lord spoke to us clearly that we were to leave that place. We were obedient to the Lord and have been blessed greatly with peace and comfort since we left. These wolves in sheep's clothing show their true selves. When you leave their quote-unquote fellowship, she says, even if you do it in the most positive way that you can possibly do it. And then she finishes, she says, informing them that the Lord, in other words, you leave nicely and you try to, but that normally never works, and it's confirmed that you didn't belong in that fellowship anyway. They're not of God. So you're informing them, she says, that the Lord has directed you to move on. But oh, no way God would tell you to leave our fellowship. That's how arrogant these people are. And so Sister Barbara says, we were getting attacked in a passive-aggressive way in messages and on other church members' social media posts. We never answered in kind, or they never got into strife. Then she finishes, they were obviously trying to goad or debate us into reacting in an inappropriate manner, which we never did. Unquote, Sister Barbara. So this is not an isolated thing, obviously. Sister Nellene says that she left the church world a year and a half ago and has no regrets. Another brother says this. He says, I'm so tired of the evangelical industrial complex justifying their greed and sexual abuse and bullying. There you go, bullying, manipulating, controlling, exploiting. No wonder, he says, under 30 group are saying goodbye to church. And so have I. Small group of meeting once a week. He says he meets with a small group of organic Christians once a week. He doesn't need, he said, large meetings anymore or rock music in those meetings. The parking headaches, entertainers with impulse control issues claiming it's the Holy Spirit in them. No, it's not, he says. Then he finishes. It's all a show for people to be conned into thinking you're being godly. It's where two or more are gathered, not where two or more thousand are gathered, unquote. Amazing. And another brother notes this from Brother Jerry. He says, when you leave a church, you find out who the real Christians are. Boy, if that isn't true. Wow, let's talk about that for a second, because when you leave a church and all of a sudden, it's not like you left Christ. You're leaving the church because you're serving Christ. But whatever the reason, if you're still in Christ, you leave the church and all of a sudden these people that you were supposedly in Christian quote-unquote fellowship with are now turned against you. They're no longer your friend or brother in Christ. Well, obviously they aren't in Christ, because God's people love all of the other of God's people, 1 John 5:1. Unreal. And so great point Brother Jerry makes. He says, when you leave a church, you find out who the real Christians are. They should wish you well in your future endeavors, but they don't, right? Right. Most of the time they don't. I went through it over 40 years ago, and there are still scars, quote unquote. Wow, you talk about abuse. Jesus said he hates these nasty Nicolaitans. Nico meaning control, Laetanes meaning the people. They seek to control the people when only God has that due place in people's lives. Because, as he said, he owns all souls. All souls are mine, quote unquote, Ezekiel 18, verse 4. So this message is kind of unfolding in a different way than I expected. And that's 99.9% of the times it happens when I click the record button on the software to begin recording. We want to do God's will. We want to be led through his word by him. His word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Sister Karen Cochran, to bring this all together, we're talking about manipulators and those who exercise witchcraft over God's people, or they attempt to. And we also are talking about the Great Commission and being free to obey Jesus. Listen, we are responsible. You and I are going to stand before God. Did we do His will? What is His will? The Father's business. Jesus said, I must be about my Father's business. And if you're truly following Jesus, you're all about the Father's business, who sent His Son to die for the sins of the world. And now He sent us to tell them about it so they can be saved, and then we feed them so they can grow to know Him and to be more and more rooted and grounded in Him, not us. It's not about you, friend. You don't have a ministry. Jesus has a ministry, and He's only going to operate that ministry through the cross life. If you're denying yourself, taking up your cross daily and following Him, He's raising you up to establish His kingdom in the hearts of the people, not your kingdom. Or the stupid salesman, the fraud you call a pastor, that's trying to get you to invite people to church. Go out and get them saved, man, and establish them in the Word of God right where they are. We see nowhere in the New Testament scriptures where disciples of Jesus were running around telling people to come to church. Is that all your Christianity amounts to? That you don't even have the power of God? Come listen to my pastor. He's the best. Really? Is that what you call Christianity? Is that what your life is defined as? I know people for decades, and that's all they have now, is to send you a link to their wonderful pastor's message this Sunday that he just preached. That tells you exactly where they are. That's all they have. They aren't walking with Jesus Himself, studying to show themselves approved unto God, workmen that needeth not to be ashamed. They're not full of the Holy Ghost. They're not going about letting the cup of their vessel overflow onto other people as they preach Christ. This is beyond lame. So on this note, and it kind of brings the two components of this message together, that is, being aware of the manipulators, the Nicolaitans. Jesus said He hates their deeds and doctrines. And also realizing you have a responsibility to fulfill the will of God. The stated will of God is that you are executing and operating in with the other members of the body of Christ, the Great Commission. And that would not include perpetrating some church name or some church business by helping them set up a different satellite churches around town and around the world. That's not the Great Commission at all. They're selling their own goods, their bag of goods. You and I are here as ambassadors for Christ to help people love Christ, to get rooted and grounded in Christ. The kingdom of Christ is all about Christ. Do we get this? Are we starting to get this? In Mexico here, I am preaching in Spanish that Jesus Christ is the only way to God. He's the King of Kings, no religion. God has not called you to a religion. They know exactly what that means. He's called you to Himself. He came and personally died for you, was buried and raised again from the dead. You are His. You're bought with the price of His blood. You're not the servant of any man or men or organization of men. 1 Corinthians 7:23. Perhaps that's the most profound verse of need for us to memorize in this whole message. 1 Corinthians 7:23, and always in the King James Bible. And so I'm able to tell these beautiful Mexican people that Jesus came and died for them to have a personal relationship with them. That's the words I share with them in Spanish. No religion, no religion. No. Now, once in a while, I'll say, no papa, no Maria, no Catholica, no papa, pope, no Mary, no Catholic Church. No. Jesus came and died in Spanish for you to have a personal relationship with Him. And I'll tell them, la sangre, la preciosa sangre de Jesucristo washes you from all your sins. I usually kind of do a washing hand signal and raise my hands, both of them, to the sky, to Jesus with a great smile. They see the Holy Ghost is working on them. Anytime you preach Christ things start to happen, baby. Just read the book of Acts and see all those devils that were manifested. Now, the way they manifest here 99% of the time is their eyes are wide open, their jaws dropping. It just invigorated. They know their spirits, it just ignited. I don't know how else to explain it, but their creator is speaking to them through his word that he wants them to know him, and his name is Jesus Christ. All things were created by him and for him. Colossians 1:16-18. He has preeminence over all of his creation. Absolutely amazing. All souls are mine, Ezekiel 18:4. And when you're speaking Christ to them, you're not telling them, well, I go to this nice little church with a great band and the songs are wonderful and our pastor is so talented and such a great speaker. Would you like to come Sunday? Now, you find that in the New Testament for me. Any disciple of Jesus with that stupidity, I'm sorry, show me the chapter and verse. Nowhere to be found. Stop it now. You're selling the goods of a false prophet and a false enterprise. It's time to cease now and start to preach Christ. Repent and preach Christ. Speaking of Spanish, preaching to Spanish-speaking people, I remember the time when I was speaking Spanish, the limited amount I knew at that time, and still am limited greatly, learning every day, but preaching to this guy, he was Spanish-only speaking. This was in Texas, and I was almost finished telling him everything I could in Spanish, and a guy tapped me on the shoulder who's bilingual and said, would you like me to interpret for you? This guy wasn't even saved, but so nice. I mean, typically Mexican people are some of the just most gracious people you're ever going to find. Absolutely amazing. They'll get you spoiled real quick. Compare that to the gainsaying mockers that are so full of self in America when you go out on the street preaching, which I did extensively for many years. But anyway, so this guy taps me on the shoulder and said, hey, you want me to continue to woman interpret and you tell me in English and I'll tell him in Spanish? I said, absolutely. So I go to preaching to him and he was telling the Spanish speaking guy what I was saying. And part of what I said is no Mary, no Pope, no Catholic Church. You need Jesus. None of that can save you. It's a lie. And anyway, so the Spanish only speaking guy said, gracias, thank you. And he walked away. And the guy interpreting grabs me with a death grip, his mouth wide open. I'll never forget that. And he literally said, real smart guy too. He said, you telling me Mary can't help or save me? I mean, he was just befuddled. That's the first time he had ever heard that. And he was fighting it. But ultimately, a few minutes later, he said, yes, I do want to receive Jesus. I believe it. This is the gospel. I hear the scriptures. And he got saved. Right there, he repented and received Jesus. Amen. As God would have it, I saw him miraculously a month or two later, and he grabbed me and said, man, I want to thank you for preaching the gospel and for helping me come to Christ. And my family and I, we now part of a fellowship of believers. We're now saved and serving Christ, my whole family. I was like, hallelujah. So I had only seen him one time. And preach Christ to him. God can do the rest. Sometimes we get this idea, well, I led him to Jesus, so I'm going to be, and I have to be the one. I'm responsible, fully and obligated to make sure that they're discipled. Well, God's really in control of that. Yes, we want to keep feeding them if we can, but that's not always going to happen that way. That didn't happen with me when the Lord saved me. I wasn't discipled by the people that saved. It led me to Jesus. They didn't save anybody. They led me to Jesus. So we have an example in scripture. There's Philip in Acts 8 who was led by God, told him to go to preach to the Ethiopian eunuch. Well, he preached Jesus to him. He got saved. And then God took Philip 40 miles away. He miraculously transported Philip, read it for yourself, end of Acts 8, to a town called Azotus, 40 miles away. So we can assume Philip never saw that Ethiopian eunuch again. The Ethiopian eunuch was on a chariot. He had traveled from Ethiopia to Jerusalem. So he went back to Ethiopia. He never saw Philip again. So God doesn't necessarily use you to disciple everyone that you lead to Christ. Now, as we close, as an example of some of these things we're talking about in today's message, If Jesus truly is our first love, our Lord and Savior, again, we're about His business. Revelation 2, 4, and 5, He tells the Ephesians that some of you have left your first love. And He says, repent and return to your first works. What's the first works? Well, it's the Great Commission, teaching and preaching the Word of God. We had a guy last week get saved. He's absolutely on fire. Nobody told him to go join a church. Are you kidding? We quit that years ago because that's just going to ruin people and get them to become twofold or threefold more children of hell as the Pharisees who indoctrinate them in these local churches, Matthew 23. So this guy's on fire. Nobody's telling him to sit down, shut up, and pay your tithe. He's on fire. He's wearing me out. He's so on fire. He's bilingual too. His name's Daniel, if you want to pray for him. He's showing me how we can make the Jesus track in Spanish better. Put a QR code on the back of it. He's an IT guy. He's telling everybody about Jesus. He's already passing out Jesus tracks. The day he got saved, I started ministering to a cop, and I could only do so much because I don't speak the full Spanish language, obviously, by any stretch. And Daniel takes over and starts ministering Christ and exchanges phone numbers. And we gave the cop a track. And it looks like the cop went ahead and bought one of the books that we have in Spanish off of Amazon, the authentic book in Spanish. Amazing. So this guy's all about the Great Commission and serving Christ already. And nobody's corralling him and controlling and manipulating him for their own self-serving purposes, but pushing him out there, if you will, in a sense, and letting him spread the gospel of Jesus Christ as the Holy Spirit's leading him to do and empowering him to do. Reminds me of Acts chapter 8, verse 4. They that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Notice that, Acts 8, 4. They weren't spread abroad and going to look for some church as they left the town of Jerusalem to go into other towns all over the area and country and beyond outside of that country into the Asia Minor and going east in every direction. No, they didn't spread abroad to go join a church club. They went everywhere preaching the gospel, man. And that's what elders are there for, to help equip the saints for the work of the ministry. And that doesn't mean the work of the ministry being singing in choir, cleaning the church building. Are you kidding me? That's just more example of people being used by frauds, by wolves in sheep's clothing who are making merchandise of them. You ever notice these wolves? Everything they qualify and define as quote unquote serving God happens to be serving that ministry. If you're obedient to God and you're faithful, you might be considered to work in the choir, to minister and do God's work in the choir, to handle the soundboard and help with the electronics. It's all about their little church ministry, their little church club. It's never about Christ and preaching Christ and getting the Word of God into the hearts of the people around them. So on this note, Sister Karen Cochran writes this. She says, we absolutely were attacked. That is, when they left this local church, they left a few months ago, her and her husband, Tom, they were attacked locally. They were attacked on social media, etc. And then she says, but now I say, thank you to the Lord for pulling us out of that church. How can you learn the true doctrines of Christ, she says, under and in a synagogue of Satan, which she realizes that's what they were a part of. All praise to Jesus, she says, and now we are free to participate in the Great Commission that God has called all of His people to do. And she gives the scripture references. She continues, she says, since leaving that synagogue of Satan, the Lord has done exceedingly abundantly what we could never even think of or ask for. Ephesians 3:20. Then she says, false fellowships keep you in bondage with their false doctrines, corralling their prey for their own self-serving agenda. That's what they're all about. That's what Jesus meant when he said the Pharisees, the false leaders of his day, and nothing has changed. That's from actually Matthew 23:15. Woe unto you, Jesus said, scribes and Pharisees are false leaders. Remember, there's no new thing under the sun. If it was happening then in the Bible anywhere, it's happening today. Jesus says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, For ye compass sea and land to make one proselyte. They work hard to make one proselyte. And when he is made, when somebody gullibly submits to these false leaders because they're not submitting to God, ye make him twofold more a child of hell than yourselves. Think about that. They're proselytizing people to become just like they are. And they are all children of hell, not heaven. They're of the other kingdom, saints. Beware. And Jesus made that clear here. Matthew 23, verse 15. Sister Karen and Brother Tom continue and finish by saying, and most of all, Jesus is not their first love. That is, the first love of those people that attacked them when they dared to depart and stop going to that fellowship. God forbid. She continues. She says, Jesus is not their first love. Otherwise, they would have never done that to us. They have no love in them except for themselves. Jesus has set us free, she said. When the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. And that means free to do his will, which is the Great Commission, the Father's business, to glorify Christ, not men. And then she finishes, she says, come out from among them and be ye separate. She gives all those scripture references. All praise to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen, unquote. So let's pray together, saints. Heavenly Father, we love you. We take this moment to ask you, Lord, having been through some of your word and being enlightened by thy word and Holy Spirit, we ask you right now to forgive us of any sin of idolatry, of witchcraft, of control, of any manipulation. Father, we repent now in the name of Jesus. You own all souls. We're all yours, Lord. We're not our own. And Lord, we who are yours are bought with the price of Jesus Christ's blood. So are all other of your people. And so, Father, set us free from any manipulation, witchcraft, or control. We ask you to forgive us, wash us afresh in your precious blood, Lord Jesus, and set us free so that we may fulfill the Father's business to do the Great Commission of feeding the flock of God, of helping lost souls to be saved into your kingdom, your eternal kingdom for which you came, to preach the glories of your precious blood, to preach Christ in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among his people and through his beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, even so, come Lord Jesus. Amen.